Hey everyone, this is Gary Kay, and I'm bringing you a very special edition of my Rants and Raves video cast today because I have two of the most powerful people in the industry with me here today, with Dave Labuscus and Mike Blackman. And I say that facetiously, but I'm actually serious. Dave in charge of Avixa, Mike in charge of ISE. Y'all are the mega shows for the industry. Everyone goes to these shows. These are the shows that everyone focuses on. Mike, I know you've had a tough 6 months because you put together an amazing, exciting transfer to Barcelona with ISE 2021, and all of a sudden COVID is dragging on. Talk about what it's been like the last 6 months for you.
Well, you know, we left Amsterdam, and I think like many other people, we thought, oh, give it a month and this will all be over. Well, weren't we wrong? Well, we've learned a lot in this time, and it's been an interesting time because we're getting fantastic support. So on one side, we hear the enthusiasm of the industry. We see the support and help we get from the local government, all the local people in Barcelona. And we're thinking, wow, this is so exciting. And then on the other side, we've got this, virus that is just damaging businesses, killing people. And, you know, the only progress we see, it's one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back. It's very hard to guess what's actually happening. The last 6 months have been quite interesting. I always say to Dave that, you know, my job certainly is not boring.
Yeah, that's an understatement, especially in the last few weeks for you. Dave, I think a lot of people, when we were leaving ISE and being locked up, I literally went from ISE to a show in San Diego, directly to a show in San Diego, and then came back from that and had to quarantine at a hotel here locally because my daughter has asthma, and also I was not allowed to teach during that 2 weeks. The university said I had to quarantine. I thought, certainly we'll have an Infocom show, and because that's all the way in June. I remember you and I having a discussion in late March, early April about it. But the industry as a whole has not only had to pivot, but sort of rethink the way they do things. And it's not just a challenge of not being able to have a live event. It's sort of a challenge of how to connect people together. I know that that's been a central focus of your team at Avixa. How's that gone, and how do you feel about sort of where we are as an industry right now?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't wait until we can all sit around a bar and tell each other our COVID stories, right? This is where I was when. And I've been in countless planning meetings for the last 6 months, and am embarrassed at how many times I said, you know, it'll be X date and we'll be okay. The reality is, none of us know. None of us have a crystal ball at this point. So you have to start focusing in on what you do know as you look at these areas. What we do know is that people can connect. The richness of this connection is second to the richness of face-to-face, but it continues to connect the world, which is what AV is all about. The industry itself, you've had conversations with Sean, who leads up our Business Insight group. We clearly, different segments of our industry have been devastated, some have been hurt, and some have been helped. The other aspect of this is the geographic diversity of our industry. There's a tendency in the world right now to walk around and see glasses half full, or half empty, rather. In 11 days, we are launching Avixa's third largest trade show of every year in Beijing. Infocom China 21 opens on September 28th. They are fully back to business and are having trade shows with tens of thousands of people attending. And so, you know, when will it, we'll never be back to where we were. But that's true every day we wake up, whether it was 2010 or it's 2020, but we're heading forward, and it's a resilient industry that connects people with technology. I say it now. We've never had a time where we're more critical than today.
Exactly. I mean, like, we are the solution to the problem. Like, literally, right. We are literally demonstrating the solution to the problem. Dave is in Fairfax, Virginia. I'm in North Ghana. Mike, are you in the UK or Germany right now?
I'm in Germany. But, you know, it's funny. It's funny we're saying that and saying about the creativity of this. You know, one of the most interesting things I learned this week, I met with a vintner, someone's making wine, and they distribute their wines, and they said they're doing Zoom tastings. I said, well, how does that function? Well, they get people actually get together and say, okay, we're going to join this. They book it. They get a box full of wines delivered to them. And then everyone sits online with the whoever's leading the whole thing, and they're doing their tastings together. And everyone's experiencing. And they said some of the times they have whole families sitting down to dinner, joining the tastings. And it's become so successful. They want to continue doing these Zoom tastings. And it shows the creativity of what our market can do.
Right. And that's part of the pivoting thing. And one thing I'd like to just address up front, I'm talking to Dave Labuscus, executive director, present CEO, I should say, of Avixa, and Mike Blackman, who runs Integrated Systems Europe as the managing director, I believe, if I remember your title right, Mike.
Unless Dave wants to change it sometime.
Well, one thing, we'll talk about that partnership in just a second. But one of the things that I think the group that has probably had to pivot the most is manufacturers. Like, attendees, once the dates are set, they're going to book their flights, they're going to show up, they're going to come. Like, there's no question. When we have an event, people are going to show up to the event. Maybe there's going to be people nervous about going because it's the first big public event they've been at. I'd certainly be nervous going to my first college football game, but if they allowed me to go this weekend, I would definitely go because I'm ready, right? And I would be careful. I would change the way I did things in the past. There's no question. Now, what do you suggest? What do you tell the manufacturers? Because it's sort of been a moving target for them because they want to have an event. They need to have events to introduce their products. They need to budget this stuff. And now you're going to have both events in June next year. How would you recommend that they handle this? Because although ISE is a European show, it is an international event. And Infocom certainly has always promoted itself as an international event and has had an international attendance. I'm not privy to the numbers as to percentages here and there, but I know that there are international attendees, but they're very regionalized, the bulk of the attendees. So what would you recommend, Mike, first you?
So, I mean, the first thing is what you're gonna see next year amongst the shows. And, I think it's something that Dave coined very, very well earlier this week, is that what we're gonna see next year are events which are focused on North America or the Americas, focused on Europe and focused on Asia for the attendance. Because whatever happens, you're still gonna get some people or some, I believe there may still be countries, worst case, who maybe have travel restrictions. Or most definitely there will be people who are nervous about traveling and they will want to hold back. So, you know, based on that, what we've done is refocus how we're looking at this and focusing being, I mean, the ISE was started to be a European event. Now, it primarily is a European event. More than 80% of our attendees are from the main European countries and, you know, places like Switzerland, UK, etc. UK is no longer in Europe, well, as the end of the year. So, you know, we are a European event and we're going to have to focus back to our roots in for 2021. Now, the fact that ISE has been 6 months away from Infocom has actually helped in some ways to actually make that more international, but also for Infocom. What happened in the past was most of the product launches were being, in our business, were happening in June and they were focused around Infocom. Now in Europe, most of the business is starting and budgets are actually happening in January. So all the European launches came at this time. And more, what has happened as a result of that, those North American companies who do international business have been coming to ISE to see what's going on in Europe, to work with the partners they have in Europe, and just see what's going on, have those meetings. Now, if those meetings are going to be pretty much impossible anyway for the next few months, then it makes more sense for those companies to focus more on their the places where they are. So what we're recommending to the manufacturers is, you know, I think it's actually not just going to be our recommendation. They're going to do it as business sense to actually say, where are their biggest markets? Where they have their biggest operations and focus a lot there. Now, what will happen, almost all the major manufacturers who are, for our point of view, who are North American based, they have regional offices. They have offices in Spain or certainly in Europe. And my advice then is focus their business to be the European offices. It makes no sense if someone's responsibility is North America, them to actually come to ISE, because they're not going to be talking to the partners they need to. Now, you might have included, you mentioned one company earlier where, you know, we have global companies like NEC, Sony, Samsung, LG, etc. And when you look at those companies, their businesses in North America and Europe are almost totally separate. There's no working together to that extent that they need to actually send people from North America to Europe or Europe to North America. Where we have gained with both shows is that as the shows have grown, there's been budget from headquarters coming. So part of the budgets have been from North America. Some of the budgets have been from Europe, but the headquarters have actually, whether it's Japan or Korea or wherever, have actually contributed to those budgets as well.
And so a lot of that's around product launches, right? There, if they have a new product launch, it's a global launch, HQ is going to kick in money. If it's just if it's a product that's already been out and they're showing it, it's less so. I think some of it's going to be timing. Part of it's going to be timing. I think it'll be interesting to see, does the first round of products get introduced at ISE and then at Infocom? I think it's going to be really entertaining. I think what's going to happen is, as you mentioned, the products have been focused on one or the other shows. I think that the companies are going to try to make a concerted effort to introduce or debut some products at ISE and some products at Infocom so that they get a double whammy out of it in a way, like they get sort of double the press as opposed to saying the same thing over again.
I think it will make a lot of sense for some companies, but on the other part, what we've heard, it's part of our discussions, is many companies, due to the situation, are having delays in getting their products ready for the early part of the year.
Sure.
But that we've heard from a number of global organizations already. Not from everybody, but quite a few. Yes, we've also heard that some of them are going to have resource problems in actually managing two events, or in fact, we're talking about three events in a short space of time across the world. But there are ways to manage it. There are advantages. I think what you said there, you know, concentrating all of that in a short space of time, suddenly you're hitting the whole world with that message.
Yep. And Dave, Infocom, you know, there is 2 weeks between these two shows, right? It's not like they're really totally back. I mean, it is physically possible to go to ISE, do that show, come back, rest a week, and then go to Infocom for companies like us that cover it, as well as people like you that have to go to both shows. And there's going to be a set of people that want to go to both shows. Infocom being the second show, do you still think it's going to be mostly North American audience? Or because Infocom's done a really good job. When you walk through an Infocom booth of a lot of manufacturers, you see an international audience there. And I do think people are going to be ready to travel. I think I find it hard to believe that it's just going to be a bunch of Americans and Canadians hanging out there.
Or you find it hard to be excited about that, one of the two. So let me back up a little bit and then move forward to that. I see each of these shows, and I'm going to talk about North America, EMEA, and Asia. I see all three as platforms that have global reach and impact. I think it's foolish for us not to recognize that. I think the manufacturers recognize that. The trade press recognizes that. The industry knows that, right? So, but I think we often confuse global reach and impact with global attendance. The reality, the real numbers are that in 2020, we had less than 5% of the people that were at the RAI were from the United States. If if we were, there's a couple of things that are happening here, right? A lot of people are looking at 2021 through the lens of the past because we're human beings. That's what we do. Yeah. We look and perceive the future based on our past experience. Some of it, there's the legal language in the investment community, right? Past performance isn't indicative of future performance. But in reality, we all perceive the future through the past. And the second reality is that that is a completely false assumption to make for 2021. If we then add to that, let's make a decision about ISE in isolation, right? So we have a pandemic. We currently have travel restrictions. We currently have quarantines. We currently have people that are dying around the world from this disease. If it is better by February, we are still going to have impact. And even if we don't have the travel bans, even if we don't have the quarantine, we're going to have reduced budget. Those companies that Mike was just talking about that have a January to December budget or fiscal year, they're budgeting right now. I'm certain that every single one of them is looking at travel costs, education and training costs for their employees, and they're going to be lower in 2021 than they were in 2020. I think it made sense to push ISE back. But that's in this, again, contrived if you look at it in isolation, right? But it's not in isolation, and that's certainly not the way I perceive it. So I absolutely empathize with the exhibitors, and I wish we had had an opportunity to better communicate with them in regards to this. But this is not a pick from having a show in February or have a show in June. This is have a show or not. And then when you start to select that which is the best of less optimal decisions, mm-hmm. you start to look at how do you leverage these different platforms. And then I think that's where you get to that pragmatic description that Mike just said. And that's the conversations my team is having with exhibitors right now, and I'm having with exhibitors right now, is how do we make the best of the cards that we've been dealt? And I think that then leads you to, let's have a focus on the market that the platform is in. Let's look at how we can allocate our resources there. And yes, there are going to be different extremes. There will be some exhibitors that will need to choose between one or the other platform. If you want to hold the glass as half full, we will have platforms to be chosen from, right? Mm-hmm. And that's at the core of this, what the industry wants, that's what the exhibitors want, that's what the attendees want, is to get back together, to be able to see the equipment, see the experience, learn from each other, and move forward.
A network. I mean, people want to talk to other people. I mean, we do love talking this way, but at some point in time, I want to be able to shake your hand again, right? I mean, there's a different connection when you're talking to somebody physically in person. No matter how awesome this technology is, which it is, there's still that in-person part of it. Now, VIXA is is in partnership with CEDIA on the ISE show. For those people that don't know that partnership, so you have ISE is kind of an unusual show because it has the high-end residential and the commercial side of it. Of course, the commercial side is significantly larger than the high-end residential side. The residential side has been growing this year. Obviously, people are spending more money on their houses. I think that show is perfectly positioned to take advantage of that. I'm interested in, Mike, have you thought about, this presents an interesting opportunity because for 2 years, every time I interviewed, you talked about how we were outgrowing the Rye. I love Amsterdam. I know a lot of us love Amsterdam. I know that I love going to Barcelona because it's a warmer climate, it's a change. But have you considered, I know a lot of people have been asking, I wonder what your response is. Have you considered possibly, if the shows are going to be constricted, possibly moving back to Amsterdam for convenience sake, as far as the knowledge of the area and Central Europe and the history that's there? Or is that discussion not even on the table right now?
I mean, it's not on the table. What you've got to recognize is when you move a show like ISE or Infocop, this is not something you can do overnight. We need at least 2 years because inevitably on both events, we can't co-share a location with anything else. So the venues have to move things around and juggle around to say, okay, we've got a slot exclusively for you. This was one of the problems in getting the June date was they had to shift around to actually find that and actually say, okay, we have an exclusive spot for ISE. Infocom would end up with exactly the same challenge. Yeah. So it means that when we start to look at dates, we're actually talking at least 18 to 24 months out to actually get that slot organized. So the RAI, I mean, if I said I want to do it next week, they'll say, welcome. I think every venue in Europe will probably do that. Strangely enough, and this is a, Düsseldorf is running shows, Dave. It's an inside joke.
Okay. I'm not on the inside there, but yeah.
It takes time. Strange enough, I had dinner last week with the CEO of the RAI. He was in Munich, and we had dinner and chatted, and they were telling about everything on what they're doing, and they foresee hoping to get shows back into place from March next year. Now, what you've got to realize, everything that's been cancelled, and we were one of the last shows yeah. in the So everything that's being cancelled from now, where they have contracts, is being shifted forward. So for them to actually to be able to accommodate us would be, I think, absolutely impossible.
The analogy I heard is it's like rescheduling a wedding. I mean, everyone still wants to get married, so everyone's still trying to reschedule their wedding. Everyone's weddings got pushed forward, so everyone who planned on getting married at the time, their dates are no longer available because the ones that were supposed to get married got pushed forward. It's similar sort of analogy there. Have you, Dave, thought about there was at one time a call to maybe switch dates, like have ISE in the summer and Infocom back in the winter, early spring. Maybe this is an opportunity to think about that. I'm sure you've thought about it or had people ask you about it. Is that on the table?
If I had a dime for every time I've been asked about that, I would be doing Zoom wine tastings like Mike.
Okay, so that answers my question.
Yeah, the calendar year is been set. Maybe I should say the same thing as I said before, though, right? Like,
yeah.
That which we assumed as true is not necessarily assumed as true going forward. Now, that's not a tease. There is no intent to do a swap like that.
Yeah.
The cost to our exhibitors goes up dramatically as we shift those seasons. And we love our attendees. We also are deeply indebted to our exhibitors. The value of these shows is not the revenue from 2020 or 2021. The value of these shows is the ability to serve as a platform for our association to build an industry and reinforce an industry. And that's long-term value that's extracted by partnering with all of the stakeholders of these shows. There's been enough disruption built into our lives that none of us invited. We absolutely want to establish a place for some stability and for a launch pad for the exhibitors to be able to move forward from this.
Yeah, I felt obligated to ask those questions because those questions are going to get asked, and now you have finality on those answers. This is not something like even if Dave decided or Mike decided you wanted to switch dates, it could happen.
Yeah, it's
because you not only have to find dates in the future, but you also have to convince 1,200 manufacturers that this is a better thing to do that they've already thought about for many years. And I get tired of being asked that question, but I think if I didn't ask it, people are like, why don't you ask that question? I really appreciate the candidness that you have here with me today. I believe this might be the first time the two of you have been on a call together since all this has happened over the last couple of weeks. And you've been very accommodating with both our editorial team as well as being able to do this. And I wish you both the best. You know, I'm a big fan of both shows. I'm going to be at both shows. Someone asked me just yesterday, are you going to go? I'm like, as long as they let me show my passport at the border, I'm in Barcelona and I will be in Orlando when it comes to June. So I'll be at both places. So Aaron, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. You've done the vaccine.
Yes, I have. I'm actually a trial. Yeah, I'm on the trial. I get my second shot next Friday. It definitely hurts. It's not like the flu shot, but I can tell you that, I don't know, maybe we'll learn some bad things come of my trial, but so far really happy with it. It's worth it. I'm excited to be part of it. I hope that it helps the world. And I hope that this, I'm on the Pfizer trial. There's three different trials running at the same time. The Pfizer one finishes October 16th, I think it is. So they'll have all the data. The people who are on the trial have to go for another year. But I'm getting blood tests every time I go. They do the COVID tests. So it's interesting to me. I'm just curious about it. And
I take my hat off to you, Gary, and I appreciate there are people like you who are actually pioneering and helping this move forward. So
not really. I'm just sitting there and getting the shots and getting the blood drawn. When I got there and they were told me there was going to be four big, they were not the small vials, they were the big vials. I was like, why did I do this? But I'm actually excited about it. I have had a lot of people reach out saying, hey, thanks for doing that. It actually is cool. I mean, to be a small part of it, all of us grew up getting the polio vaccine and hearing the stories about polio. And I remember my dad telling me stories about it. And I thought, I want to kind of be part of this. So hopefully it'll yield in something great. And hopefully we'll all see each other in person in June twice in Barcelona and in Orlando. Of course, those dates, the Barcelona event's June 1st through the 4th. The Orlando 2021 show is June 12th through the 18th, with the shows being the 16th, 17th, 18th of June. Both to both of you, hats off for the job you've done. And thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. And thanks for watching. All of our videocasts and podcasts are at ravepubs.com.